10.
Okay.
Good morning to everybody and those who are watching us from the virtual platform.
Recording in progress.
Committee Secretary, can you ensure that people who are going to present, they log in at least 5 minutes before so that you can do your test screening then? And not when we are supposed to start.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, members. Good morning. I can see Honorable Dennis Breitenbach is here. Honorable Engelberg, I think yes, we do form a quorum now. Honorable Jelle, yes, we do form a quorum. Committee Secretary, do you have any apologies?
No, Chair, I don't have apologies on my side. Thanks.
Yes, I have one apology on my side. I received an apology from Honorable Swart that he's experiencing serious network problems, but he will try to be part of the meeting, but his bandwidth is very low. From time to time, he will be able to speak, but his connections is very unpredictable. That is the apology I have received, and we know that Honorable Belmani Votdachen is still ill to post until the 21st of March. So she will not be part of us. That is the apology we received last week. Honorable Engelberg, your apology is for tomorrow, is that correct? Honorable Engelberg? Honorable Dennis Breitenbach?
He still can't speak, so I think it's a DA thing.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Careful, Mr. Junkie, I know where you live. Yes, Mr. Engelbrecht, apologies for tomorrow, Honorable Chair. But what I actually wanted to talk to you about was the Honorable Nieva Drachen. I know that she's back home now.
Yes.
I was wondering if you would inquire from her if it might be appropriate for those who are able and in Cape Town to visit her.
Okay. No, I will do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I will do that. I know I was speaking to her yesterday that everything is going well, but I will inquire. I will inquire from her. Thank you very much for that, Honorable Breitenbach. I guess that was the last hand on the apologies. I also received a letter. I thought that I think let's start and discuss it before we go to Honorable, in fact, Mr. Robertson. I received a letter from Mr. Hank. I think it was circulated that he would not be in a position to proceed next week with the responses on the land court bill. He underestimated the work of the amount of work that needs to be done. So he is asking for 7 days more from the 15th. So my proposal to the committee is that as we had already given him an option to report later that we should accept, he must bring quality work to the committee. So there will be no point in insisting that he proceed next week if he will not be ready. But let's look at how far he will go in processing the cannabis bill. If we have not gone far enough, I propose that next week on the 15th, we proceed with the cannabis bill. But if we have proceeded far enough, we can be able to make that assessment tomorrow. If we would have proceeded far enough, then we can speak to Honorable Janji that that day be taken by the subcommittee. And then we take the day of the 1st of April as a committee day where we can do our internal work, including reviewing the program. In fact, the reviewing the progress that we have made this year and since the last Lekgotla that we had as a study group and plan properly for the next term. But that will be based on the progress we are making with the cannabis bill because it's quite urgent that we should finish the thing. But I think let's have a discussion tomorrow after we would have made an assessment as to how far we are progressing with this bill. Will that be in order, members?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Robert, good morning and welcome. You can take us through the cannabis bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Previously in the committee, I did take the committee through the bill, and there were certain discussions. I also indicated that I did not meet with Judge Gordon, and I was also requested to submit certain articles to the committee regarding the effect of cannabis on fetal development. First, let me report on the meeting with Judge Gordon. I did meet with him, mainly in respect of the offences and appropriate penalties that should be imposed. What he indicated is the effect that we should treat cannabis mainly similar to alcohol. And the penalties or offences in the bill must to a large extent correspond with those that is imposed in respect of alcohol offences. I did submit a meta article regarding research on fetal development and the effect of cannabis thereon to the committee. It mainly indicates what I did discuss previously, that there is an effect on fetal development. It's mainly similar to that of alcohol, tobacco, and it's still very inconclusive of what the full extent of alcohol and fetal development, THC on fetal development will be. Going to go through the various sections of the Act, there are some new proposals in this regard. The first one relates to our definition of adult person. And previously we did propose a probable increase there to other ages than 18 years. And I must indicate that first, if you look at the Prince judgment itself, legalized cannabis in respect of adult person and make a differentiation between adult and a child. And my submission, if you look at the Prince judgment, you will see that it did take into account the current definition of adult in South African law, as well as that of a child, namely that the adult is a person above 18 years and the child is a person under the age of 18 years. So to probably expand it to higher age, fully contrary to the Prince judgment. There was also discussions about the harmful effect of THC on young adults under the age of 18 years. And I did other research, among others, to foreign jurisdictions. And one can make the assumption that foreign jurisdictions treat the adult age for legal, or rather the age for cannabis use, similar to that of the alcohol legislation. And that is in US states, in line with the alcohol legislation, that it said the age of 21 years. Canada and Uruguay and Australia capital territories, and also the proposed legislation in New South Wales, in accordance with the alcohol legislation, the age of 18 years has been determined. In terms of the Canadian provinces, although the Cannabis Act provides for age limitation of 18 years, if one look at the provincial legislation, there was an age increase to 19 years. There is an article of Professor Selman, who amongst others discuss or compare the harms of alcohol, and that is THC on a person, and he came to the conclusion that alcohol and cannabis is mainly similar. He actually makes a remark to the effect that alcohol may in certain circumstances be more harmful. I did refer previously to a particular South African legislation regarding the distinction between adult and a child. Must refer, amongst others, to our constitution, section 28, that deals with protected rights in respect of children. And in terms of the constitution, for purposes of 28, a child is defined as a person under the age of 18 years. The effect thereof is that a person is an adult if he attains the age of 18 years. The Children's Act, we provide for the age of majority, and that's 18 years. Must refer to the Child Justice Act, where this is the limited exception in respect of how to deal with certain offences in terms of that act. And under certain circumstances, they regard a person under the age of 21 years, in limited circumstances, as a child or a person that's subject to the Child Justice Act. But it's submitted, it is in relation to procedures applicable to deal with certain persons in terms of the Child Justice Act. I also did refer previously to the Tobacco Control Act and liquor legislation, and the age that has been established for legal use thereof is 18 years. So my submission is that we should not amend the definition of adult for purposes of the cannabis bill. Going to stop there.
Thank you very much. Members, we had discussed this issue last week, or when Mr. Roberts appeared before us. And the general view or general consensus, except Honorable Swart, was that we should stick with 18. Can we have hence whether we proceed and to stick to 18, or we take Mr. Honorable Swart's view of 21, bearing in mind that almost the literature and the principle is that we should be to a greater extent, but not be differentiating alcohol and cannabis. Is there a view that is different to 18 years? Honorable Jelle?
Chairperson. Good morning.
Sorry, Honorable Swart and Honorable Jelle, is your hand up?
Yes, Chair. My hand is up.
Okay, Honorable Swart and then Honorable Jelle.
Chair, thank you for the input. I do appreciate the search, but I still think that we are not giving sufficient attention to the public health issues arising from the access of children to cannabis. I will stick with my position of 21, although I do understand the issue relating to legal certainty around the age of 18. But I just want to emphasize, again, those members that read the research document that was provided, that there are recent reports indicating an increase in adverse health outcomes linked to the regular use of cannabis, including motor vehicle accidents, drug-induced psychotic symptoms and psych disorders, HIV, hepatitis, B and C, tuberculosis. Now, these are serious issues, Chair, and what makes it aggravated even more is the possibility of children having access to cannabis. The department itself said on page 5 of its comments, legalization will definitely give rise to increased use of cannabis, not only by adults, but also by children due to availability. And it is acknowledged that increased cannabis consumption will require a proportional increase of the already under-resourced measures to deal with harms associated with cannabis. So I appreciate the concerns about alcohol. Yes, we need to deal with that as well. But does that then mean that we make cannabis more freely accessed to children or even indirectly? I think that it's not wise. We're approaching this very narrowly. We're not considering the public health aspects, and we're leaving that to other departments to deal with under the Medical and the Substance Abuse Act. So, Chair, thank you for that. I will stick with my position. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jelle.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Mine, it was just Chairperson. I think maybe there's one point that I've missed in terms of access, particularly on the those who are 18 who are still at school. I'm not sure if maybe I missed that discussion because I was on and off, Chair, because I wanted to find out if maybe have we made maybe some restrictions, because if the age is 18, which we don't have, but have a problem with that one. I don't have a problem with that one. But my question will be, because at high school, we still have those who are 18. How are we maybe accommodating that issue? That of saying if they can have it and use it at the school premises, what would happen to other children who are still young? And maybe I missed the discussion when we were talking about the age and then also bringing that one in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Jelle. Let me remind people on the virtual platform that people who are allowed to discuss now, it's members of parliament and the department and no one else. So we'll only recognize members of parliament and the members of the Department of Justice led by Mr. Robertson. So we would not be recognizing any other hand. Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. In response thereto, I believe some aspects relating thereto is currently sub judice in LM versus three others in front of the Constitutional Court is being argued in relation to cannabis and how do we deal with cannabis by a person 18 years or younger. Currently, in terms of the Schools Act, there is provisions that do provide for the confiscation of cannabis at a school. I believe part of the order that has been prepared by the Council for the Minister of Justice is to the effect that the Schools Act will apply in such an instance. There is a possibility that we can provide in Clause 5 of the bill that the minister may prohibit a person from possessing cannabis in certain places specified by regulation. That is an option that can be considered. The general limitations in terms of this bill is to the effect that no person may consume cannabis in a public place or use it in the presence of a non-consenting adult or even in the presence of children. That equally applies to a child who possesses alcohol. That is still a criminal offense, even for a child in terms of this bill. But there is amendments to the Child Justice Act to the effect that it will amount to a divertible Schedule 1 offense. Well, my submission is that a child can also not further distribute cannabis amongst his pals at school. That may amount to dealing in cannabis. A child is not excluded in this bill, and even in terms of the High Court judgment and Ellen and three others from such an offence. So it will apply. But the child will be dealt with in terms of the Child Justice Act. So my submission is that currently there's adequate provisions to deal with that. And alternatively, we may consider for a clause to the effect, or rather a provision in Clause 5 to the effect, that the minister may prohibit the possession, consumption or smoking of cannabis in certain specific places. So we keep that open as an option. But yes, there is adequate legislative measures to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you covered, Honorable Jada?
Yes, Chair, I'm covered. But can I propose, if maybe, because when we deal with these issues, if we don't have a clause of that kind within this bill, for people to go and, you know, apply another bill, use this, in fact, if they want to use it and then they want to use this one, now they have to go and check from e-education and all that. Can we, is it possible, Chair, if, I don't know, if I'm not out of order, also to cover that, like Mr. Smith says, it can be considered.
So will you agree with me, Honorable Jale, that we will still have this discussion when we deal with Clause 5? So your concerns, you might raise them when we deal with Clause 5, wherein the issue of regulating further where it can, for instance, the issue of schools that you are raising, that let's revisit it when we deal with Clause 5. Would that be in order?
Yes, Chair. I'm okay. Thank you, Chair.
So can I assume that you have no problem with 18 subject to us revisiting this when we deal with Clause 5?
I don't have a problem, Chair, particularly because it talks to other bills and other laws of the country about 18 years as an age.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I come to you, Honorable Swart, can I go to Mr. Barbara Lutz, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor? She had her hand up.
No, Chair, apologies. If it shows my hand is up, I don't see it from my side. But I concur with what Mr. Roberts has said about the age and the 18 and how we are reading the Prince judgment at this moment in the absence of any other indication from the Constitutional Court. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lutz. Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to refine from Mr. Roberts, when has the matter of the LM judgment, has it been argued before the Constitutional Court? And if so, are we expecting a judgment soon? Because that will give clarity on the restorative justice approach as well, which I raised previously. Then secondly, Chair, at some stage, I'd like Mr. Roberts to respond to our request that he should also consult the Public Health Department of Health. And I'm not sure whether we raised it then, but the basic education on the impact as well, particularly of the usage of cannabis when it comes to children. I think this is a major issue. I appreciate, again, the majority of the committee might decide on 18, but I do want us to fully appreciate as legislators the impact of what we, when we do pass legislation, the impact on the broader society, and that we need that input from other departments as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson.
Mr. Chairperson, there was a limited consultation with the Department of Health. I didn't consult with the Department of Education regarding this aspect. I again consulted with Professor Perry and also Professor Bankis. They did give me substantial input regarding harm that may result from persons under the age of 25 years. But I must also indicate there is various other scientific articles available that do not concur or support the notion that ordinary light use of cannabis will necessarily lead to psychosis or will necessarily, to a large extent, affect brain development. One must also take into account that alcohol and tobacco have similar effects on the developing brain. The article of Professor Salman and others, there is a clear indicator that alcohol may, in some instances, be more harmful to young adults than cannabis, but again, it's subject to the quantity that is consumed and how regular a person uses that. A young person that consumes cannabis on an infrequent basis will probably not have the same as brain development risk as that of a similar young adult that consume it on a daily basis. But that also applies to persons that consume alcohol. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this matter has been well canvassed. I propose, honorable members, that for the sake of progress, because we are still going to come back to discussing the bill as a whole, where parties, they will either indicate which areas they're not comfortable with. They might even go to a point of not agreeing with the bill. But I think we do need progress, and I do think that we have, for the purposes of the age, sufficiently discussed the matter. On the basis of majority, we cannot say sufficient consensus, on the basis of majority, taking into consideration the discussions that we had last week, that we can, for the purposes of progress, agree that we are proceeding with the age of 18, We should, some of the things would be clarified as the bill progresses, and including the issues that were raised by Honorable Jalia. We are still coming to clause 5. But we also do understand that there would not be sufficient consensus on all the clauses of the bill. I do think that we will, once we have concluded clause by clause, parties will still indicate areas where they would still want to debate issues further. But can we agree for now that we accept 18 as a part of the working document, meaning that we have agreed with clause with 18 for now, as part of our working draft. Is that in order, members? And we note the objection of Honorable Swart that he prefers 21.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janji. I saw your hand.
I was saying that's in order, Chair, that we should proceed.
Thank you very much. Who is Mr. Manyika? Is he part of the Department or Parliament?
No, I'm part of RCSA, Accra Community of South Africa.
No, thank you very much. As I've already indicated, this process is now only for the department, parliamentary legal advisors, and members of the parliament. Time for public comments, we have exhausted that. But you still have the opportunity to make public comments when the bill goes to the NCOP. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next one?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Next proposal or proposed option to the current provisions of the bill relates to cannabis. There was previous criticism that any substance which contains THC is rather vague, and even substances with trace elements of THC can be regarded as cannabis. Option one previously did propose that we can probably increase it to a substance more than 0.2% THC per volume. I did indicate the effect thereof that the THC quantity specified here is in breach of what is allowed in terms of the Medicines Act for human consumption, which is 0.001% THC in any substance. In other words, 1,000% per volume of any product containing THC. Option two is a reworked draft of this. And in terms of option two, what is proposed that must describe a volume of THC per substance which will qualify as cannabis as that of 1% THC. I know it's a substantial increase, but for purpose of the bill that authorizes or try to regulate cannabis, 1% THC volume for adult consumption is probably a regulated quantity of THC. But I do propose the option to the effect that for purposes of the other sections, that is section 4.3 of the bill, 5.5, and especially those relating to children, we may consider an amount of 0.2% THC per volume. And in option to that paragraph, I even tone it down further to provide that, especially in relation to children, amount of 0.01% THC per volume of a substance
may be considered. Section 6.5 deals with providing THC to a child, or rather cannabis to a child. The other offences where this is applicable, amongst others, Section 4.3 of the bill, do deal with the safekeeping of cannabis in terms of regulations, mainly to protect children. The reference to Clause 5.5 deals with the consumption of substance containing THC in a motor vehicle. And the reference to Sections 1A, 4 or 5 of the bill deals, amongst others, with the defense on a guardian to permit a child to deal with cannabis or to possess cannabis. So that is probably a solution that can be considered, especially paragraph B1, and as an option there to paragraph 2 or subparagraph 2, and then for purposes of the offence of children, the enhance or rather tone down volume of THC per volume in respect of children. So that is what can be proposed. I must also indicate that the bill is based on a cannabis equivalency that is provided for in the schedule, where certain cannabis, like fresh cannabis, is equal to dried cannabis, and certain concentrates containing THC is also regarded as equivalent to dried cannabis. These amendments will not affect the equivalency calculating measure in the schedules to the bill. So that is the proposals. First proposal is to the effect that for purposes of the bill, we increase the amount of THC to 1% per volume, unless it applies to section 4355614 or 5 or 2C and 3, that. And then the option is, for the purpose of that section, we may provide for 0.2% THC per volume option, or we can even make it equal to that may be prescribed in respect of hemp in respect of legislation that regulate hemp. That is to facilitate that hemp can more readily be distributed, and also that certain persons which is currently not allowed to deal with hemp or to participate in its participation may participate in the cultivation of hemp. And then especially in respect of the provision of THC or a substance containing that to a child, we may consider paragraph 3. I will propose that in respect of the offence in section or clause 6.5, that we favorably consider this highlighted option, and the rest is open for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Honorable Horn, followed by Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask, in terms of the second option there, which talks to a 1% THC per volume, what the evidence or the scientific basis would be for that proposal? It was 0.2, and then there was criticism, and the 0.2, I think, was incorporated via other legislation, but I did not hear a substantiation as to what the where the 1% on the basis of what the 1% proposal is being substantiated. And then in addition to that, I would argue, Chair, on the basis of the last comments by the department around the fact that we know that the commercialization of cannabis and cannabis-related products is on its way, whether I would want to ask the question whether we shouldn't then rather phrase these to already position this bill not to be inconsistent with possible commercialization going forward. So that would mean in relation to the last comments that one would, rather than looking towards the current legislation around medicine, phrase it in such a way that whatever is determined as the acceptable levels in terms of future commercialization, that already be factored in terms of these definitions. Thank you.
And you, Honorable Sot, and then how would that work in practice? Because this is not a white paper or a policy. It's supposed to be a bill. Then we would be making a bill, making some reference to a future policy that still needs to be developed. How do you, or do you still want to think about it?
I don't think it should be linked to a policy, Chair, but I mean, you already earlier this morning talked about the possibility around regulations to on an interim basis allow for commercialization. So I don't think it needs to be linked to a policy, but rather to any legislation that would regulate the commercialization of the cannabis industry.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Swartz.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the department's attempts to protect children more, particularly with the new proposal with clause 6.5, which reads any person who administers cannabis to a child is guilty of a Class A offence. So I think that suggestion will also improve that issue. But I would like to ask Mr. Robinson, and in line with what Mr. Horn said, the broader issue, whilst this is a very narrow bill, the implications, you obliquely referred to the implications for medicine, well, for hemp in particular, and we know there is that hemp is defined later in the bill, and there's also a reference to, in the definition of hemp, about the concentration of THC in leaves, which may be prescribed, and that is in terms of other legislation, I presume. So is there not a contradiction then when we are talking about a certain concentration of cannabis here, which might exclude the issues relating to hemp and medicinal usage of low levels of THC? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. This relates to a substance, which is not to say the flower or cup of the cannabis plant. If one look at the literature, you will see that a cup or quantity of cups contains up to 18% THC. So in a glass of water, if one converts a cup to water, there will be 18% THC in a cup that can be used. But the substance here previously was undefined and could have been used to interpret it in relation to what is generally known in science that applies to cannabis. But there was a request that we specify or regulate it rather, mainly to exclude substances that contain trace elements of THC. Obviously, one can refer to CBD oil, which will contain trace elements of THC. And that's already available on the market. So this is an attempt for purposes of the bill to indicate a more realistic approach to the quantity of any quantity of THC in any substance. It's already well below the current COP percentage of THC, which I did indicate can be up to 18%. But yes, to an extent, one may make edibles or cannabis-infused products that do contain a certain amount of THC. And if that is not regulated, it may give rise to that the person may consume it while in the vehicle. And he can always indicate, yes, it is below a certain element or a percentage that was determined. I did indicate previously that we, for purposes of certain offences, we do prescribe a lower quantity of THC per volume. And that, amongst others, relate to driving of a motor vehicle or supplying cannabis to another. But for the remainder of the sections of the bill, and to enforce it appropriately, one may or need at least to specify a higher volume of THC in that substance to regulate it effectively. I did refer previously to the Medicines Act, which amongst others excludes or rather provide a percentage of 0.2%. or less THC, if it's not for human consumption, then in relation to human consumption, 0.001% or less THC restriction. For purposes of the bill, the 0.001 or less restriction is totally unworkable. We allow the possession of cannabis crops, which may contain up to 18% THC, but why, for purposes of the other provisions of the Act, limit the THC quantity in any substance to an extreme low amount, such as 0.2% per volume? It's nonsensical. So this is a proposal, at least, to increase it. With due regard to the effect that one can probably use it in contravention of the Act, possess such substance in contravention of the Act. But to enforce it, rather prescribe a more realistic amount of THC that will have a psychoactive effect on a person. So that is my explanation. Thank you.
If I may go back to Honorable Horn, I'm not sure whether he would be convinced, but I think his first question was, what is the scientific basis?
Mr. Jefferson, I did indicate that in relation to a cop, the flower of cannabis, it contains up to 18% THC. So that is usually your starting point. How you calculate a volume of THC. So you allow a person to possess a substance that is a cop that contains up to 18% per volume, but you restrict it to a low amount of 0.02% THC per volume in respect of any other substance. It's a kind of contradiction. I'll just explain. There need to be appropriate amount at least to regulate certain substances that is used, possessed, or consumed in terms of the bill or in contravention thereof, that has got appropriate amount of THC that has got a psychoactive, or it's called a psychoactive effect on a person, and not restricted to anything that contains a trace element or to such volume of THC where a person will probably need to consume an extreme large quantity of the product before it has a drug effect on them. So that's more or less how I can explain it.
I do understand the 18%, but how do you come to this more than, not more than 1%? And the other one, with respect to section 4.3, the 0.2%. How do you come to those percentages?
Mr. Chairperson, if you look at some other countries, there is certain limitations that is imposed on edibles, cannabis-infused products that may be sold to persons in general. It varies though. This is actually, let's call it an arbitrary calculation or suggestion that was made, and that is to make the act enforceable and to regulate the substance. One may increase it to 2%, but my submission is to make it substantially less than 1% will not serve the objectives of the act. The 0.2% THC, I did discuss it previously, indicating that that is the lower amount that is provided for by the Medicines Act, but that is for non-human consumption, and that the current 0.001%, 1,000 per volume that is prescribed is unworkable for purposes of this act, and that we should at least consider a higher amount of 0.2% THC. 0.2% THC is the starting point of the hemp specification. I think that is used in the EU and the United States, which classify hemp, amongst others, as a plant or substance thereof that contains not less than 0.2% THC. And one must also consider it in the context that a hemp product or a substance that contains 0.2% THC will have a limited psychoactive, or let's call it a drug effect on a person. You need to consume a substantial amount thereof. In South Africa, development of how we regulate cannabis, THC, medicines, and in the future, probably edibles, cannabis-infused products, the standards still need to be established. So as a starting point, one can probably use the limited 0.2% THC as a first reference standard. But my submission is that in respect of some of the sections provided here, 0.2% may be workable, but in other instances, it probably needs to be further limited. especially concerning children, or where you provide substances containing THC to a child. Due to the fact that 0.2% THC in a medicinal product is substantial and it's regulated by the Medicines Act. So it's also arbitrary determination, but with reference to at least a possible determination of the limited quantity which hemp may contain if legislation is enacted to regulate that. So the 1% THC is effectively tried to regulate the consumption, use, possession of certain substances containing THC. It's substantially less than your COP, but it's necessary for regulatory purposes due to the fact that the provision or distribution of certain substances needs to be more effectively controlled and enforced, and a 1% THC volume is therefore suggested in that regard. In respect of certain other provisions, I did indicate then that 0.2% per volume may be considered since it serves the purposes for which the other provisions provide. And that is probably as far as I can take it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Horn, Honorable Horn.
Yes, Chair, I hear the explanation. The only question that then I think as a consequence must arise is if we, and I think this has been more or less, even if it's not welcome in all corners or from all stakeholders, our approach has been that we want to, through the adoption of this bill, give effect to the constitutional court order. So the question I think we must ask ourselves is if the COP then contains an 18% or up to an 18% THC levels, and because of the fact that that was the plant, the COP was the topic of the Constitutional Court judgment. What would then be the effect if we then in a more stricter way regulate related products? I'm not in asking that question, I'm not advocating that we shouldn't. I'm just back at the point to say then, for me personally, I want to hear then that this percentage per volume is the tipping point at which the effect of THC is similar to smoking the cup or the parts of the plant. I'm no expert on that, but if one looks back at the judgment and the obligation on Parliament, I think that's the pertinent question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we are still on the scientific basis for this arbitrary regulation.
Yes, and I'm afraid that if we, as Mr. Robert says, for regulation purposes, go very low, and there might be good argument to be made out that we should, that on that basis the legislation will be attacked as not giving full effect to the judgment. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you very much. Honorable Swart.
Chair, I appreciate the difficulty with the percentages when it comes to the department, and I think Mr. Robertson did indicate the arbitrariness of this. So I think we need to be very mindful of different responses for one person to the next, depending on that person's physical attributes. However, I would like to just ask him again about the 0.2% when it comes to the impact that this clause will have on your commercialization of very low levels of THC, such as your hemp and your medicinal products. I'm still not convinced, and I think there were public submissions in this regard that under South Africa's environment and circumstances, that European 0.2% was too low for the, and we understand that in terms of the Medicinal Act, there are regulations there, but I want to understand if we say 0.2% relating to hemp products, that can criminalize a lot of the cultivation in of medicinal products of hemp products. And I think that is a concern, given the fact that I think Mr. Roberts again indicated even on that, on the 1% and on the 0.2%, that it is pretty arbitrary. So I think we really need to apply our minds to the broader implications of this aspect. Yes, we are approaching this from a regulatory model, not from a commercialization model, but we do have to understand the implication it will have when there is broader commercialization. And in my interest is in those the particular issues of hemp and medicinal usage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Jefferson, cannabis percentage determinations, if one look at everything, a lot of factors need to be taken into account. Among others, a cop may contain up to 18% THC. There's a limitation of uptake of THC if one smoke it. There's various documents that's available on this aspect, and even there is not complete consensus. But one may consider to some extent for regulatory purposes increase the substance content to anything up to, let's say, 5%. Most instances, there is instances where substance is consumed that the intake of THC in the body is more than ordinary smoking. Even if you eat a cup that has been decarboxylated, there will be a greater uptake of THC up to a certain percentage than the person that smokes it. And there's not actually very clear guidelines that can be followed. So what is proposed here is to facilitate regulations, especially in respect of substances. One can make a substance fudge that contains a certain amount of THC. I must remember that it needs to be regulated, especially regarding the distribution thereof, the places where it may be consumed. So it's a mere limitation calculated on a possible drug effect that is proposed here. 0.2% or less of a substance, one must really ask the question, how much needs to be consumed to have a drug effect? So rather determine a realistic amount of THC that certain not easily controllable substances must contain to effectively regulate that. And that is probably as far as I can take it. I did previously discuss the 0.2% THC per volume, insofar as it's rather 0.3% limitation on them. And I also did indicate that it's dependent on the South African circumstances, what must be prescribed. I believe in Australia, in certain territories, a 1% THC limitation is imposed on hemp, substantially higher than the international standards. The international standard is between 0.2% to 0.3%. And if one look at, amongst others, the Australian legislation that regulate hemp, one will see that it is strictly controlled, and it's obviously to deal with the higher amount of THC that is allowed. And that is as far as I can take it. Thank you.
But there is an issue that Honorable Horn raised, that if this legislation is taken to its attack in court, we would be asked the same question that he has asked, the scientific basis. What is the tipping point? And we do understand the difficulties that you are faced with, but I think it would be important that we can't advance an argument of arbitrariness in the Constitutional Court.
Mr. Chairperson, yes, it's acknowledged. But one must remember that cannabis is applicable to various provisions in the bill. It first allows adult persons to possess a certain amount of cannabis, to use cannabis, to be in possession in private of a certain amount of cannabis. It even allows the distribution of cannabis, a prescribed amount. My take on the matter is to the effect that it will be hard to argue that to say that a substance that contains 1% THC is an unconstitutional determination of what may be possessed, distributed, etc. It is mainly there to regulate a certain substance containing THC. On the other hand, I do concede that we can probably increase it to 18% THC, but it will become problematic to some extent to enforce that. One must remember that there is provisions for cannabis equivalency that deals with cannabis concentrates, which do specify that cannabis concentrates of 0.25 gram is equal to 1% dried cannabis. And the first paragraph A, the COPS, and the cannabis substance containing THC is in between the two poles that are set in the bill. Firstly, that if it's a cannabis concentrate, where it's a high concentration of THC, it's limited. But this to say does not actually to a large extent or let me rather say it's not substantially regulated in terms of the bill. One can go as far as some legislation of foreign countries amongst Canada which will tell you that 1 liter of cannabis infused liquid is equal to 1 gram dried cob. But it's also arbitrary determined amount. In most other jurisdictions, it's an arbitrary determined amount. Also, if you look at cannabis-infused products, in other legislation, foreign jurisdictions, it will, amongst others, provide that 500 grams cannabis-infused products equals 1 gram of dried cannabis. One can argue that their legislation probably also is arbitrary to the extent that it's well possible to increase the content of THC in that edibles or liquids that does not concentrate to amount that is substantially similar to the cop itself. But they also deem it necessary from a regulatory point to establish at least a minimum standard to regulate what may be possessed, distributed, or used in certain circumstances. One can go as far as to indicate that the substance contains 18% THC, but the effect thereof is that a person may in private then consume a substance that contains 17% THC, and it's not an offense. There needs to be an absolute limitation to determine what can, amongst others, be consumed in private in certain circumstances or be distributed or possessed under certain circumstances with specific reference to the effect or drug effect of that substance. And that is my answer. Thanks.
Members, can I suggest that we mull over this definition and these two options? Maybe we can come back to it tomorrow. We reflect on it. But there is still one area that has not been covered, that of Mr. Horn's second question. If we take this and put it, especially the 1% under regulations to facilitate the issue of commercialization, how would that be catered for?
Sorry, Mr. Jefferson, I didn't hear the question.
I was saying that Honorable Horn was saying that in view that there is, we still have to ensure that this bill does facilitate the commercialization of cannabis. So he was making a suggestion to the effect that it might not be appropriate to put, in fact, maybe what we might need to consider is to put the 1%, if I'm correct, under a regulation, but it has to take into consideration the fact that these regulations must facilitate the commercialization of cannabis. Before you proceed to answer Honorable Horn, did I understood you correctly?
Yes, Chair, that was more or less what I asked, and that was, I think, also in specific reference to the comments Mr. Robertson made regarding hemp and specifically commercial hemp products.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Robertson, I can see you're scrolling down. Are you suggesting that it is going to be covered as we are going down?
No, Mr. Jefferson. Look, it's possible to submit it to him to provide that regulations need to be made to prescribe a limitation on a substance containing THC. Well, one can do that. It's not impossible. Must remind the members of the case State versus Smith, that among others provided that in relation to offences in terms of the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, it's impermissible for, among others, to prescribe or include certain substances in the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act, which by implication create new offences. The question may well be asked then, if this is left to a minister to determine, will it not per se also amount to a creation of a certain offence that has not been approved by Parliament in a broad sense? I argue that. There may be justifiable limitations in that regard, and specifically in this instances, but a general trend of that case is that if it's an offence, it should be clearly defined, the purpose of Parliament to define it, it should not be left to the executive. I will consider this further and give further inputs in this regard tomorrow. And probably also provide a better explanation with specific reference to foreign jurisdictions in this regard. And insofar as legislation that facilitate commercialization of cannabis, one must look at the foreign legislation of foreign jurisdictions. It's regulated to the extreme. They do specify certain limitations on cannabis edibles that may be distributed or may be sold. They do specify a minimum content of, or rather a maximum content of THC. So it's to a large extent regulated thereunder. Possible conflicts here with such proposed legislation. To accommodate that, a possible conflict, yes, it's preferable to leave it open to the executive to determine the quantity of THC that the substance may contain. And yes, let me rather give an additional discussion on this issue tomorrow. Thank you.
Tomorrow, okay. Mr. Swart, Honourable Swart?
I just wanted to ask Mr. Roberts, so when he considers foreign jurisdictions, and I'm sure members of the various industries will probably raise this when they have other public hearings in the NCFP, to what degree does the consideration of foreign jurisdictions impact on the particular agricultural circumstances that prevail in South Africa when one considers various crops and one considers various impacts? And I get back to the medicinal and the hemp, where we have a certain 0.2%. You indicated Australia as 1%, now could that not be the THC levels, could that not be because of the particular agricultural circumstances in Australia or the climate, which is similar to South Africa, which is far hotter, and where we in South Africa point to 0.2%, you could exclude large numbers of farmers from Eastern Cape, for example, that made submissions to this portfolio committee, where we are using a foreign jurisdiction and not taking into consideration the particular climate and agriculture of South South Africa. So I think it's something, as we debate this issue, one does not want to exclude a lot of potential beneficiaries, and I'm referring particularly to hemp medicinal, but it could apply to others as well due to the particular climate agriculture of South Africa, where we consider maybe European standards, which are different climatic conditions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think that will be important, Honorable Swart, because that would go back to the question that Honorable Horn raised, which is part of the scientific basis, because the issue, the difference in climate is part of that scientific basis. So this is why I think it's important that Mr. Roberts would need to come back and take all of those things into consideration, not just the issues of foreign jurisdiction, but we must, as we make reference to those foreign jurisdictions, take into consideration those pertinent issues like the climate, which is part of a scientific reality that might distinguish us from some of those countries.
Mr. Tupison, I believe that was thoroughly considered in respect of the bill. That is why the bill do not provide for a specific percentage of THC in respect of hemp, and that it need to be prescribed in terms of such legislation. Their consideration was paid amongst others to various agricultural factors, climate differentiations between countries, etc., that may influence a suitable hemp product. It was recommended by other departments that we should determine a percentage of between 0.2% to 0.3% THC for hemp. The bill did not make provision, therefore, for the circumstances that was raised, due to the fact that our climate may be different, the product may not be suitable in South Africa. That is why we leave it open for determination later on. Thanks.
Okay. So, members, we'll come back to this clause tomorrow. Can we move to the next clause?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I did discuss, I'm not going to deal with the other options that was proposed. I think we should rather deal with the main issues here, or some of the new main amendments that is proposed. This one relates to subclause 2. Subclause 2 of clause 1 will provide that legislation may authorize the cultivation and distribution of hemp, of cannabis for, amongst others, commercial purposes. There was, however, some criticism that we did receive from other departments involved in the commercialization of hemp, that clause 1 to probably don't go far enough to indicate that commercialization is allowed in South Africa. One must remember that the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act gives effect to South African's international obligations under the drug treaties. The Drug and Drug Trafficking Act is under the administration of the Cabinet Minister responsible for justice. And there was indication that we must make the position clear that we, in contravention of our international obligations, do provide for commercialization of cannabis. To facilitate that, a new option has been proposed that specifically provides for commercial activities in respect of recreational cannabis. And the new clause makes it clear that commercial activities in respect of cannabis is authorized. In other words, this is done in contravention of our international obligations. It's subject that national legislation must be enacted to authorize and regulate commercial activities in respect of recreational cannabis. And the new clause then proposed that such national legislation must, amongst others, specifically authorize and regulate commercial activities in respect of recreational cannabis under a licensing scheme, may provide for different classes or categories of licenses that may be issued in respect thereof. It must provide for criteria requirements that must be considered for the issuing of a license. And these criteria must, amongst others, encourage local economic growth, employment creation, empowerment of rural communities, must promote micro and small businesses, must provide for or take into consideration local skills and skills transfer, must have regard to BBE, and in particular in this regard to the Rastafarian community and other cultural religious communities, which may have been prejudiced in the past on the basis of the use or association with cannabis. It must provide for measures to prevent and minimize harm associated with recreational cannabis. It must provide for a demand reduction mechanism. It must provide for population monitoring of the use associated with cannabis the monitoring of harm associated with cannabis abuse, must provide for public education and assistance in relation to matters of cannabis safety, harm minimization, and other matters of interest to the consumers of cannabis. Such legislation must prevent access to recreational cannabis by persons under the age of 18 years, must prohibit the advertising of cannabis, must provide a framework for testing the quality, strength and safety of cannabis. There must be effective oversight mechanisms, regulate the packing, labeling and storage of cannabis, regulate the purchase of cannabis. They provide for the establishment of a National Cannabis Advising Committee that must assist with such measures. And there's also a prohibition, amongst others, relating to the advertising, or rather, make available or influence minors and relating to cannabis use, and it provides for certain definitions to facilitate this clause. So this is a measure that addresses the criticism by the other departments involved in possible commercialization of recreational cannabis. Although there is certain aspects that must be covered by national legislation in terms of subclause 3 of the option, does not limit such legislation to provide for anything else. Yes, and I'm going to stop there.
Okay. Members, any comments? Honorable Juan?
Yes, sir. I think we need some time to consider this, and I would, well, firstly want to ask, to what extent, for example, is this the product of also some interaction with, for example, the Department of Trade and Industry? But immediately at the outset, just at the first glance of looking at these proposed regulations, the one thing that strikes me and which I must be critical of is that it wouldn't seem that some form of already existing knowledge or skills or expertise around the cultivation and the processing of cannabis and cannabis-related products seems not to be one of the criteria for the issuing of the license. Now, he talks, Mr. Roberts highlights there the availability of local skills and skill transfer. That would mean that anybody without having specialized skills themselves would be able to obtain the license for as long as they then involve those with the skills. And I think one of the main takeaways I've gathered from our public participation process is that we cannot enable commercialization, which would effectively create a situation where those who have been part of the industry up to now, even though it might have been an illegal industry, are sidelined. And broad-based black economic empowerment, similarly, I mean, can even be in certain respects a negative requirement. I see Mr. Roberts also highlights the Rastafarian community, and I want to say respectfully, I don't think the Rastafarian community are necessarily exclusively black. That's in any event the way I've understood it. So my plea is just that I think we must firstly get feedback as to what extent is this the product then of engagement with other relevant departments. But secondly, I would think that one of the major criteria that must be built into these regulations should be to the effect that those who have built up the specialized knowledge and skills over the years should be in the inside lane to also make use of the commercial opportunities, and that they should not be effectively put at the mercy of the established commercial role players in this country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn. Any other hands? Mr. Roberts, sir? Mr. Roberts, sir? Can we have, it's 11 o'clock, can we meet at, can we have a 10-minute break?
Sure.
Yes, and come back at 11:15.
Thank you.
We can.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach. Mr. Roberts, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. First, regarding consultation with other departments, I believe the new clause specifically provided for the request of DTI. We did previously propose that we may, as an interim, provide for regulations to facilitate commercialization. I think the response there to was to the extent that no need for that. We just need a clear authorization to deal with commercialization, and they can proceed on that basis. Regarding especially Section 3, there was no broad consultation on this. But I believe if one look at the policy document that has been developed in respect of possible commercialization of cannabis, some of the issues provided in that policy document is addressed in this issue. And that is a policy document in respect where various departments participate in the development. Some of the aspects that were inserted in Clause 3 mainly relates to comments that were received during the public consultation process, amongst others, to regulate cannabis commercialization and what should be provided for, and there should be certain limitations, there should be harm reduction measures. I can refer to, amongst others, Professor Sperry's submission. We did request monitoring, etc. The Medical Association representation would also did request certain provisions for harm reduction. What was further taken into account is substance abuse and rehabilitation legislation of South Africa, based on the principle of regulating the availability of certain substances and harm reduction measures, and to restrict availability thereto. But I have considered legislation in foreign jurisdictions, especially relating to harm reduction measures, etc. That is catered for in Clause 3A. But again, I must say, there was no extensive consultation on this matter. But it caters for aspects that is addressed in the policy document that has been developed. Regarding consideration of current expertise, provision can be inserted here under to provide for that. I could even make or limit the considerations, make it discretionary to substitute must with may. And I must again refer to the kind of exemption, the limitation exemption that is provided for in 3A, that national legislation may provide for anything else. So that was my response to the questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Are there any honorable sort?
Thank you, Chair. Well, Chair, this clause is at this stage changes the whole framework of the bill from purely regulatory to now include the commercial model. And I, at this very late stage, I appreciate this is coming from DTI, but obviously one has serious concerns about this, particularly with the Roman 3, which is a criteria which indicates must include Now, you have large numbers of operators or farmers or people that are growing cannabis for recreational use who are at the moment operating illegally. They would like to obviously legalize their operations, and we have a certain view on that. We don't necessarily agree with that, but I'm looking at the broader bill and implications. And now you are including a must, in other words, only broad-based black economic empowerment or Rastafarian communities will be able to legalize themselves. So I think this has consequences for many, many people. That's your Roman 3FF. And that is a must. You've got a must include. So it's compulsory. So only, from my reading, only those segments of society will be able to apply for licenses. And I think that is very exclusionary. And I think that would require consultation with the various industries that have made presentations to this portfolio committee. I think that that could be, but I think this is a dramatic change in the bill, and whether that consultation process takes place now or at an NCOP level, it will be requiring, because this has an impact on probably every person that has made a submission on this bill. This is a new clause. But I think we reserve our discussions, our positions on this. I think we're well known, but I think more generally speaking, I would think that many people would want to comment on the provisions. If I remember correctly, one of the concerns that a number of people made was the limited licensing permits that were available and political influence in the awarding of those limited permits at the moment. And I think these are issues that we're going to have to consider when this clause is considered by us. We appreciate that it comes from DTI, but to what degree has there been consultation broader? And I understand there's a policy document, I understand the master plan and this type of thing, but to what degree has there been proper consultation in this whole process? And I'll leave it at that, Chair. I think that this will be an ongoing discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Honorable Swart, there was also an issue of the exorbitant amount of money that was required for obtaining those licenses. Thank you very much, Honorable Horn.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I share the sentiments of the Honourable Swart regarding public participation and the absolute requirement for meaningful public participation on every aspect of the bill. So I would think we, in any event, would have to ask our trusted advisors like Dr. Lewis for an opinion as to whether we, on the basis of the public participation that has concluded in the NA at least, could proceed to include such a clause now, and whether we wouldn't fall foul of not having subjected a essential part or a material part of the bill to public participation. That's the one aspect. The second aspect, and now I must immediately admit that I don't have it in front of me, but maybe, Chair, you would be able to remind us what the current tagging of the bill is. And then I think we should consider as well, if it is a Section 75 bill at this stage, what the implications would be for tagging. Specifically, I think as is quite clear of the information on the table and taking the comments of the Honourable Swart into consideration, that there is already in different provinces, different informal, if we can put it that way, entities through which in a commercial way already deal with this. And one would think that it might then require that on a provincial basis, public participation also be undertaken as required by Section 76, if the bill is not a Section 76 bill at this stage. Thanks.
Thank you. Can I allow Mr. Roberts and then Dr. Lutz?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. One must remember, Clause 1 allows for an enactment, or rather for the commercialization of cannabis. But this is subject to subsection 2. Other legislation must be enacted to regulate commercial activities. So the act, this bill itself didn't actually regulate that. It just authorized other legislation to be enacted. Subclause 3 does make provision for certain considerations or aspects that must be considered by such legislation and must be provided for. I can change the word must to may, etc. Or make use other wording to the effect that it's preferable that it should be considered or be taken into account, etc. So this clause does not change first, my submission, the paying of the rule. It actually defers everything further to the enactment of other legislation by appropriate department. It does not itself provide for anything like that. But the main provision that was requested is to specifically authorize commercial activities in contravention of our international drug control obligations. That's my response there to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lutz.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with your permission and that of the members, I would like to just study this this clause or the proposals brought now. Mr. Robertson and I briefly discussed a concept like this, but this is the first time I'm actually seeing the wording. And as Chair and the members know, like a word or a comma, like Advocate Robert says, now must or may can influence an interpretation. So if I can request the committee's indulgence to allow me the time to study this and just consult with my office as well, and then I can come back on the section on the tagging and the public participation. My gut feeling on the public participation is to err on the side of caution always, and if something goes wider than the bill as it was, it's always good. I know the PC on trade sometimes does selective clauses if they add something. Perhaps our colleague or my colleagues from a procedural perspective can advise on that. But yeah, if I can just request the committee's indulgence, Chair, to not give off the cuff response when I haven't really studied the proposal word for word.
How much time do you need?
Chair, I can try by tomorrow, but I don't know if I'm going to get hold of all my superiors before then, but I can attempt to do it by tomorrow, but I can't promise. Like I said, it's the first time I'm seeing it now. It looks quite lengthy. I will do my best to have an oral response by tomorrow morning.
Okay. Mr. Roberts, let's go to clause 1. No, sorry. Of that clause we're talking through. Yes. But members, the issue here, I think also which Dr. Lutz should be taken into consideration, I think it's the response given by Mr. Roberts, which says subject to the enactment of a national legislation contemplated in subsection 2, which is not this legislation. Which means that national legislation can either come from DTI, DTIC, or from agriculture or any other department, but that will be subject to that national legislation. Then the following should be considered. Is that not correct, Mr. Roberts?
That is correct, Mr. Chairperson. It's other departments must enact.
Which is not this legislation. So this one is just more or less an enabler, but it's not regulating it here.
No, it's not regulating it here. The only thing that I did indicate is that it authorizes commercial activities for recreational cannabis use and contravention of our international obligations. Okay. And that's it.
Okay, so I'm not sure whether Honorable Janja, you had raised your hand. I saw your name here. Then it will be Honorable Horn and Honorable Schwartz.
No, it was Nietzsche. I was confirming and aligning myself with your indication in relation to this enactment.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Honorable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think this is more than a clause that would enable other things at the industrial or the commercialization of, if we take into terms which it sometimes takes a time periods before legislation that is in the offing ultimately is tabled in Parliament, the interim period can stretch for years on end. So therefore, I think we should be very careful to just include this and specifically include this in the absence of proper public participation, even if it's intended as an interim regulatory measure. Thank you, Chair.
So, Honourable Horn, if the worst happens, what is your suggestion?
I think, Chair, we must listen to what Dr. Lewis advises. And if her advice is that we should not proceed to include this in the absence of proper public participation, we shouldn't. So I would think we should park the debate on this until we've received that advice. My firm view is that I don't think we should accept that this is an interim measure that will necessarily apply to regulation for a very short period of a year or 2 years. We all know of some of the pieces of legislation just in respect of our own portfolio committee, which has been promised for years on end and just never reach our shores. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Members, shouldn't we, for the purposes of this discussion, just wait for Dr. Lutz and then we can engage further on this one? I've listened to Dr. Lutz's opinion on this issue. Honorable Swart?
No, Chief, very brief. Yeah, I want to agree with Mr. Horn about the issue that this goes a bit further than what Mr. Roberts has said. At the very least, the word must must be replaced with may. Otherwise, we are legislating here for what that future legislation must say. But I think that is the caution. And I look forward to hearing what Dr. Lewis says. But I do think that we need to be very careful about the further legislation that we are putting in here. Although it says subject to further legislation being passed, this is, in effect, we are giving guidelines. There might have to be a conflict of laws clause as well. But it definitely cannot be must, because if we put the word must, then we are, in fact, legislating. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Glenis Breitenbach, do you still want to speak on this matter?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. No, I'm covered by your suggestion that you wait for the views of Dr. Lewis. So that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Lewis, we will check with you tomorrow if you are ready, because this could be a serious procedural matter. So we would want to get a proper opinion on this issue, and whether if the bill, I think that is one of the issues that maybe you might want to advise us on. If, for instance, this bill is passed with this clause, and then there is further, then the House adopts the bill with this clause, and then it further goes for public hearings from the side of the NCOP with this clause, and then there would have been public hearings, would that still fatally, in terms of procedure, because the NA did not publish this for public comments, would that still be fatal? I think that should also be part of what you should be guiding us on. Honorable Janji?
No, Chair, it's just a request from you that perhaps with your guidance, I don't know if we should not allow Dr. Lutz a bit more of a time than tomorrow to get a proper advice, Chair. So I don't know, I don't see any harm in us saying, don't rush this only for tomorrow, so that we're not, yes, we must move with speed, as I always say, but not just rush this issue. So you might have to guide us there on that issue, Chair. That's my only comment.
Sure. No, thank you very much, Honorable Janji. The former speaker, Honorable Sisulu, used to say you must carry slowly. I think that is a caution you're giving us.
That's a good version.
Yes, we must hurry slowly. I think what we can say is that Dr. Lutz will indicate to us tomorrow how much time does she need, but I think she would have consulted with all the other people that she needs to consult, and she will advise us on how much time does she really need, which might mean that the suggestion that we had of the 15th, giving that time to the subcommittee, it's becoming very slim. Maybe we might need on the 15th to come back to the bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we will see. We will assess as we progress. Let's just leave that clause. We will still get further advice from Dr. Lutz. And let's go to the next clause.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Next clause deals with requests received during public consultation, that we should, to an extent, accommodate cultural and religious communities. The deadline for their submissions was today, or before today. We did receive some
inputs from the Rastafarian community last week. I did receive some of them this morning. So I have not yet considered it fully. And what was especially required in that submission was required to be addressed in the submissions was, amongst others, the criteria that must be used to identify those communities, the purposes in the practices for which cannabis is used, quantitative limitations on what may be possessed and used, etc. I did glance through the new submissions I received this morning. It's still inconclusive. There are certain gaps that probably need further consultation. But I did last night quickly try to draft a clause that do provide for that. And the provision is to the effect that representatives of a culture or religious community may apply for a permit to authorize a cultural community to possess, sell, buy, use, etc. cannabis for cultural and religious purposes, subject to such conditions and restrictions or requirements that may be specified in the permit. We provide that the minister may require the applicant to provide further information and further provide that the minister may, if he said the a certain process needs to be followed for the approval of the permit. I must remember that one of the main issues in the LM case is, amongst others, the fact that certain people are dealt with on other basis than certain other people, which is not allowed. So to be on the safe side, the process that is provisionally provided for to the effect that the permit and the necessary documents which was considered by the minister must be submitted to Parliament for consideration, and Parliament must then approve the permit which would allow such community to be exempted from certain provisions in the bill to use cannabis, possess, sell, distribute, etc. cannabis for cultural and religious purposes. And then provides for the publication of the permit in the Gazette. It imposes a limitation for the period for which the permit may be issued. Provides that if the minister is not satisfied that the permit should be issued, you can refuse that. And the minister must inform the applicant of his decision and provide reasons therefore. Provides for a clause in terms of which the minister may terminate a permit if there is non-compliance with such a permit. That is obviously subject to the ulterior patent principle. But again, the criteria and the requirements for the issuing of such a permit has not been sufficiently clarified. Submissions that were submitted or received from the Rastafarian community, but it indicates certain provisional considerations that must be taken into account, amongst others that it must be a cultural religious community and it must demonstrate that cannabis is used for cultural religious practices. They must indicate that the prescribed quantities for personal use is inadequate for their purposes. There must be a specific place for them to cultivate or store cannabis. And there must be appropriate measures to distribute or provide cannabis to other members. So this is still work in progress and probably needs further consultation. Thank you. I'm going to stop there. Is there any response?
Members, Honorable Swart.
Chair, I'm fascinated at the inclusion of Parliament to consider the awarding of such a permit. I would like to, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but whether it is practically, because normally it would be the executive that would issue such a permit, and that exercise, Parliament would exercise oversight over that executive function. That's the first question. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but I just try to understand how it would work practically. I don't think I've ever heard of, and Mr. Robinson might correct me, but of a portfolio committee sitting to consider an award of such a permit or something like that. That's the first issue. The second issue is the involvement of Chapter 9 institutions, including the Commission for Cultural, Religious and Language Rights. They might have a role to play in this as well, but are we not as Parliament here possibly usurping a role that the executive would play in the award of such a permit? And then, sorry, I haven't read it completely, but does it also mean, I think that the seemingly contradiction, if I've read it correct, is that the minister can then end the permit if the conditions are not there. If Parliament grants the permit, why then Parliament must be the one to end the permit? And that's why it could be a bit contentious whether Parliament enters this domain of the executive. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Robertson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. There's various pieces of legislation that provide that subordinate legislation must be approved by Parliament before it's published in the Gazette, or before it can be made by the executive. But I do agree with Mr. Swart, yes. Obviously, the person that exercises a function must, if there is amendment of the powers, the same person must exercise that. That will be created, provided for in the bill. The main thing is that subordinate legislation must, in some instances, be approved by Parliament before it can be published in the Gazette. And obviously, a permit I can provide for regulations, amongst others, that indicate the communities that may be exempted or that falls within this, and the conditions thereto, and provide that such regulations must be submitted and approved by Parliament before publication. Just use the other word, permit, in this instance. It's still subordinate legislation, and it should be treated on the same basis as regulations that need to be approved by Parliament before publication. That's my response in respect thereof.
Thank you. Does that cover you, Honorable Swart?
That is much clearer. Thank you. I support that. It should be a form of a regulation that is passed, tabled with and passed by Parliament, as opposed to the granting of a permit in a specific case.
Yeah, that would muddy the whole situation. I think the regulations can come to Parliament. Would you amend it accordingly, Mr. Robertson?
I will amend it accordingly.
In the village,
thank you. Other amendments were in most instances previously discussed in the committee. This needs to probably further guidance how to deal with it. I think previously there was no objection to the amendment of clause 3.2 to provide that between adults and per occasion, certain cannabis products may be distributed. Going to leave it at that, unless there is other indication. I also did discuss the self-medication requirements in excess of prescribed quantities previously. There was no previous remarks in this regard, or adverse comments thereto. I'm not going to discuss this further. Consequential amendments have not been affected further, and that's obviously subject to the approval of the proposed amendment proposed in the sub-clause to clause 2. So question is, must I amend or affect the appropriate amendments, or is this still under consideration by the committee? Alteration offences, that was also discussed previously. I did, during my discussions with Judge Cameron, among others, raised the issue of criminalization and sentences that may be imposed in respect of contraventions of the bill from a regulatory perspective, or let's call it regulatory enforcement offences. I did indicate that he is of the view that we should regulate it similar to tobacco and alcohol, especially alcohol. So the offences may need to be revised to make it, in some instances, less serious if there's a contravention, or rather the sentences that must be imposed should be less serious than is currently prescribed in accordance with the Liquor Act. The chairperson, all the other amendments were previously discussed in the committee. I thought to continue and explain it again, or comment, or give some kind of indication of what I must consider or further expand on or not.
Just proceed in the manner you are proceeding. I'm monitoring members, and members would raise hands as when they have issues to raise. When they have not raised their hands, we take it out, they are fine.
The first option I just propose is to clause 3.2, and that provides for requirements and standards that is to be prescribed. It do remove the subjective element of take reasonable measures to ensure that cannabis plants is inaccessible out of the provision. Subclause 4, paragraph A is amended to make it a less serious offence if a person exceeds the prescribed quantity. Paragraph B is also amended to make the less serious offence in respect of tactical quantities of cannabis plants that a person obtains to provide to another person. Option two, subclause five. I did previously indicate that in terms of the current provisions of the bill, it allows for the provision of flowering cannabis plants without remuneration between adult persons. I did indicate that we probably need to limit this to immature cannabis plants, that is cannabis plants without the fruit or flower that contains THC, and that we should tone down the class of offence and obviously also the sentence that may be imposed in respect thereof. The amendments to paragraph B is to a similar effect. Paragraph C, my submission and after discussion with Judge Gordon, that we can probably consider a lesser class of offence in respect thereof in certain circumstances. That will be considered at a later stage. And then the new subclause 6 provides for the dealing in immature cannabis plants. It's currently not catered for as a result of the previous discussed amendments, as well as the classes that falls within a traffical quantity or commercial quantity. Paragraph B of that subsection is retained to the effect that the person who deals in the flowering cannabis plants due to the class A offence. Next clause is clause 4 that deals with certain cannabis offences. The only real amendment there too relates to subclause 3, which again make the storing of cannabis subject to the issuing of regulations that must prescribe the storing thereof. And it's an offence if a person does not comply therewith. Regarding smoking and consumption offences, there was no amendments to that paragraph. Offences involving a child, the only real amendment there too was that to subclause 1B, where a correction is made to the fact that the cannabis plants must be cannabis plants that a guardian may lawfully cultivate if a child is to assist him and not possess. It was discussed in detail previously. Subclause 6 was a proposal that we can disregard. I'm not going to deal with that further. It's not necessary. The penalties, there was a previous option which made it less serious offences. After discussion with Judge Gordon, we can probably, in instances where it does not affect a child, further prescribe lesser sentences that may be imposed. Expungement of criminal records, there's no amendments proposed there too. There was amendments proposed there too. And that was to cater for where certain persons were deemed to be to have dealt with in cannabis in terms of unconstitutional provisions that contains a presumption and which has been declared unconstitutional. And it do provide service for the expungement of criminal records of such persons that were deemed to be guilty of dealing in cannabis under such unconstitutional presumption. There's certain amendments, consequential amendments affected to that clause. Regulations, the clause dealing with regulations have been amended as a result of some of the amendments proposed to the expungement clause. And I did discuss that in respect of cannabis for medicinal purposes, regulations need to be made in consultation with the cabinet member responsible for health to comply with, to prescribe what information must specifically fit contemplated in the proposed new clause 24D contain, and that is to the effect that that certificate must indicate that the person has a certain condition and he intends to treat himself by means of cannabis. Main thing is that it must identify a medical condition. The other amendments is to the schedule, and it's very dependent on what amendments is preferred to the bill, and the schedules to the Act will be amended in accordance with such suggestion. Previously, I did discuss the amendments to the National Road Traffic Act, and that is to criminalize conduct where a person consumes THC and then drives a motor vehicle. That was discussed in depth. I will submit a summary of the American position to the committee for further consideration. There has been certain objections that has been raised to the limitation, or the rather to criminalize the person who is above a certain limitation of THC to handle a motor vehicle. Many American states follow the current provision that is provided for in the National Road Traffic Act, namely that the person must be under the influence of THC. But I also did indicate that various other countries follow other regulatory measure and do criminalize banning of a motor vehicle when a person is intoxicated or has THC in his blood that is above a certain limitation. So that is probably also open for consideration. The Child Justice Act provision was discussed previously. I did indicate that the LM judgment that is currently under consideration for by the Constitutional Court to the effect that the status of that the child may not possess or use cannabis may be declared unconstitutional. And in the proposed order, I think, or the order that was proposed to the Constitutional Court, the Council of the Minister concede that the declaration of
validity must actually be approved by the Constitutional Court. And I also did previously explain that certain offences do still apply in respect of a child. We contravene, amongst others, certain provisions of the bill that deals with cannabis offences. Again, if there is order by the Constitutional Court, the clause will obviously, or this amendment will obviously be further considered. And that's the end of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts. Are there any comments, members? Maybe what we should say is that we are fine with the bill subject to those issues that are pending, one being the issue of the HTC, 1%, the issue about public participation, what's an opinion, but other than that, except if members have got other issues to raise, depending on the legal opinion that we will receive from Dr. Lutz and further information that we will receive from Mr. Roberts on the issue of the HTC, then we will proceed to finalize the bill. Members, we should bear in mind that our legislative program is quite full for this year. So we should, to the extent possible, try and ensure that before we rise this term, we should ensure that this bill is either passed or is on the advanced stage, at an advanced stage of being passed, because we still have the land court bill, we still have the public hearings on the hate crime, hate speech, we still have bill relating to JICS. So there are quite a number of bills that needs to be passed for this year. So I think we should try to the best we can to ensure that by the time this term comes to an end, this bill is passed or is at an advanced stage. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's just one issue that I need to raise before Mr. Roberts goes, and that is in clause 6 of this bill, there's a reference to a guardian. I forgot to raise it earlier. And while we have referred to a guardian, when in the Children's Act, there's a much looser idea around parental rights. A guardian may not be a caregiver. So if you could just have a look at that, he doesn't have to answer me now. If we can just get some clarity on that at our next meeting as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
So the definition of a guardian. Okay. Mr. Roberts, would you look at that? Honorable Masego Jele.
Thank you, Chair. I saw that also.
Honorable Jele, there is a problem with your mic.
Okay.
So
it's
under the tree.
Yes. The tree has moved. The tree has moved from Eastern Cape to Gauteng.
Cape Town.
Oh, that is why. Yeah.
We don't have connectivity issues in Cape Town.
No, you. Today you've got it, my sister. Chair, I was just asking about that. I didn't want to raise a hand when he was on that point of clause 5. I wanted to find out if maybe he was still going to consider it, the issue that I raised earlier.
Yes, clause 5, Mr. Robertson. Let's quickly go to clause 5.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson.
Maybe before, so that I don't become presumptuous, do you have a response to Honorable Glenys Breitenbach, or would you want to think about it for tomorrow's meeting?
Sorry, Mr. Jefferson, I've got a connectivity problem as well. She did say something about the guarding, and then I couldn't hear through that.
Just by WhatsApp, and then you can have a look at it.
Okay, I'll do that. Regarding, thanks for reminding me, and I said previously that the amendment to clause 5 should probably be considered to the effect that the minister may mandate it in the Gazette, declare certain areas to be areas where a person cannot consume or use or smoke or possess cannabis. I will provide for appropriate amendment to that by tomorrow.
Okay. Did you get that, Honorable Jelle? That further clarity will be provided tomorrow? Honorable Jelle?
I'm happy. Am I still under the tree chair? Hello?
Under the tree.
Okay. I'm happy, Chair. No, I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay. Honorable Breitenbach, is that a legacy hand or a new hand?
That's actually an old hand, Mr. Chair, but I do have something to say. So I see that we have a courtesy of ESKOM run by the ANC. We have load shedding until Saturday. And so there may be connectivity issues tomorrow in Cape Town for
the
committee. So
what's the story forward, Glenys? What is that?
Hey, what?
What is the ANC done for you?
Who runs ESKOM? The ANC, certainly not anybody else.
Can you come back to the meeting?
Now you're under a tree, Chair.
Honorable Breitenbach.
Now you're under a tree.
I'm under the tree.
Yeah, when you, it's an public video what you said just now, you were under the tree. Can you say it again?
Oh, I was saying that, now let's come back to the meeting. So are you done that? Because I understood you to be saying that you might have connection problems tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone who's in Cape Town may have, because I see the load shedding scheduled for 8 to 10:30 tomorrow morning.
8 to 10:30.
In your area, what area is that?
I don't know if I can disclose that to you on a public platform.
Hey, yeah, no. Honorable Horn, I think now you do understand why we need international mediation.
Yeah, well, no, I still think it is really just Lebola negotiations.
So that is part of the international mediation that is required, Lebola. We will delegate Honorable Mola to negotiate the number of cows from Honorable Janji to Honorable Breitenbach.
I don't know.
That donation must be made to me, Chair.
To you.
I don't have the time. Janji doesn't have the money.
Okay. So how many members will be affected tomorrow? I know Honorable Janji is not part of that.
I won't be affected too, Chair.
Chair?
Honorable Horn?
Yeah, unless I've missed the further announcements on it, I have it that the load shedding is only up to 5 o'clock in the morning. And then it's okay. It's stopped again during working hours, but I may have missed the announcements that it's now on a 24-hour cycle.
Okay.
Well, either way, I'll log in on my phone. I might just have problems.
Yes, I mean, I was also not sure that I'm using my phone as a hotspot. Let's proceed tomorrow, and we can see how far we go. Mr. Roberts, you would be able to report on the issues that are standing tomorrow or on some of them?
I'll try to report on all the issues by tomorrow, Mr. Chair.
Tomorrow, yes. And then we will see how far do we go tomorrow. But let's try and ensure that before the end of this term, this bill is finalized. And then on Dr. Lutz will advise us tomorrow as to when can we get the legal opinion. Possibly we might need a very short meeting on the 15th, and then we'll proceed to have the subcommittee meeting maybe after an hour or so on the 15th. But that is subject to a discussion with the chair of the subcommittee for the 15th. Because we are targeting to the term ends on the 1st of April. We are planning to have a review meeting to check whether we are on course and to plan for the next term on the 1st. So let's try and ensure that by that time the bill is passed by the House. But let's also ensure that that issue of the tagging by Dr. Lutz, we will see how far does it take us. But let's try to have the bill passed before the end of the term. Are there any issues? Or we asked, I think we are done with the bill. Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts and your team, and Dr. Lutz for your assistance. Thank you very much. We asked the chair of the subcommittee and Honorable Glenys Breitenbach about the issues that they were supposed to report to the committee for, with respect to the workshops that we need to have. And that is the workshop with Judge Cameron, the preparations, and with Professor Martin, and then also the program, the oversight program for the whole year. One of the issues that I was going to suggest, members, was that we might need to, especially the team that went to the inland provinces, myself, Honorable Horn, Mamu Jele, and Honorable Ramulu Bing, we might really consider to have, because we had to adopt a truncated program because our program was not approved. But I think there's an urgent need for us to go to Limpopo. Honorable Breitenbach would know that some of these things get discussed at the JSC level. We don't want a situation where a parliament is accused of having just cut a program that excluded one of the provinces, because we have already received a letter from the JP of Limpopo. So maybe we might, as part of the program that you should be working on, that we need to finish that part of the visit so that we can have a comprehensive program and a response. Honorable Janji, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Yes, Honorable Duncan and I had a discussion, and then we approached both of Judge Cameron and Professor Munting. Judge Cameron, both institutions were very pleased to hear from us and are very keen to do these workshops, and they have made some suggestions. You reminded me that the JSC is sitting in May, so we need to just be mindful of those dates. So I have sent to you their suggestions, and I thought that if you're happy with those suggestions, then Honourable Janki is happy with the suggestions, then if you're happy with them, Chair, then I will continue to negotiate with them and set up a program which I can then send to you to have a look at. It looks like the dates will be a pretty fixed date in May. Bearing in mind the obligations of the JSC, we'll have a look at that, but I think that could work. Proposed workshop with Professor Munting is also suggested to be over 2 days, and if you're happy with the proposals, then I'll go ahead and set that. The only day that they're not available is the 22nd of March. But we won't be available then either. It will have to be some time further into the future than the 22nd of March. So I will set up dates with him, and then I'll come back to the committee and we can just confirm those dates if that's suitable. As far as the discuss one or two issues and also look at what we discussed about an international study tour, I need to talk to Honourable Self because he had some very good ideas about that. So I need to go out and see him and get his input as well. And then we can come back to you with the oversight proposals.
Okay. Can you circulate to other members what you sent me so that other members can also have input?
I'm on mute now.
Thank you very much. But I would think that we would need a definite direction from the study group, not study group, from the committee on the issue of Limpopo, because usually when we come back, we might have a week or so for oversight. Even if we don't have it, I think it would be important that we approach the House Chairperson so that we can have that visit to Limpopo, which would be concluded we had. And then we can, and then your suggestions and the program for the year would, once you have concluded it, then we can have a discussion on that. I am raising it because if the committee gives us a go-ahead, we would need to, there are a lot of logistical arrangements that need to be dealt with.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Chair. If there is going to be an oversight in Limpopo, I would very much like to accompany you.
Okay. So let me check the hands. So we agree that we will prioritize this issue of Limpopo urgently, because I would like a situation where when we go to the JSC,
you're under the tree, Chair.
we should be having dates to Limpopo. We don't want I was saying that
Chair, I think you were frozen.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think you were frozen, Chair. Can the Chair repeat?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, Chair, from my side, I'm not sure for which other members. Can the members indicate if they can hear the Chair?
Can again hear?
You can hear him now, but we couldn't hear him while he was under the tree.
Okay. No, I was saying that it would be good before we go to the JSC to have the dates of going to Limpopo so that we don't create an impression that we are discriminating against other provinces. So I think if members do not have a problem, we will start with the preparations and the format. And since other members are indicating that they would like to join the Limpopo League, then we have to agree on a format. Is that in order?
Yes.
Agreed, Chair.
Challenges. Honorable Chanchi? Okay, it's agreed. Honorable Horn, I can see your hand.
I just wanted to confirm, for the sake of specifically the ANC members, that the announcement has just been made that stage 2 load shedding will run continuously for days on end, and I assume years on end, implemented to be immediately. So we will be affected tomorrow, Jay. Thank you.
No, I was using my phone. I don't foresee tomorrow as having a very long meeting. I think it will be much shorter. Let's try and push and see how far can we take it tomorrow, but I think it will be important that we meet tomorrow, and then we can see how far can we push. Is that in order, members? Thank you very much. Since we all have connection problems, can I declare the meeting to be adjourned?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.